Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. Welcome into First Take. Thanks so much for being with us. As you just saw, Marcus Spears will be with us in just a bit. And, of course, Mad Dog's going to be here. Jay Williams, Stephen A. Smith, I'm Molly Karam. And we will get to the game. Of course, you were there. Nets-Lakers in just a bit. But as Stephen A. mentioned, heavy day for us here. 2 years ago today that we lost a legend, icon, the Hall of Famer, the Mamba, far too soon. And his beautiful and talented Gianna. We'll be honoring Kobe Bryant throughout the show. And my prayers are with his wife, Vanessa, his daughters, his parents, all his loved ones on what is an extremely difficult day. And Jay, Stephen A., you've been around basketball most of your lives. I know both of you know Kobe personally. I'll start with you, Jay. How will you remember him?
He was a mentor to me in so many different ways, inspired me. And today, obviously, Molly, we were talking about this before the show, very heavy day. I feel like it kicked off a lot of things 2 years ago.
A lot of pain.
Yeah, with where we are now. But I come at today with a level of appreciation and gratitude because how I live my life, it's funny. Stepping on the court or stepping into the arena here with you guys and Stephen A., there was a relentlessness. There was an attack mindset. There was an appreciation for the detail. And there was something passionate about that, Stephen. You know what I mean? There's something uplifting and rewarding about attacking each moment of your life with the same kind of passion and sense of urgency that Kobe Bryant did. And I try to do that with my daughter, my wife, my son, my family, my mom, my dad. And that's how I try to embrace a day like today with how I will attack my future days.
That's a good way of putting it. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I remember one of the conversations that I had, and it's one of my most memorable conversations with Kobe, I had, quite frankly, on ESPN 2 years ago in 2005 to 2007. And, you know, everybody was talking about it at the time, particularly when I did the sit-down interview with Allen Iverson. Mm. And they were like, you know, saying, Stephen A. trying to be Oprah. Stephen A. going to be Oprah. And Kobe saw me, and he said, he used the F word, but I won't say that, obviously. He said, forget Oprah. Harpo.
Mm-hmm.
Harpo. He was in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
That's how he thought. And, you know, when you consider the fact that this dude, a five-time champion, a former league MVP, one of the greatest players in NBA history, and what he brought to the table on the basketball court, he had his post-basketball career planned and mapped out. He knew what he was going to do. And I only say for the immediate future because he constantly evolved and was always looking to improve upon that. And anybody who knew him knew he didn't care for those who wanted to limit themselves. He didn't care about limitations. He wanted you to springboard. He wanted you to maximize your potential. And then he insisted that you go out and inspire others to do the same. And so when I think about him, you know, today, and one of the things and people don't realize is, you think about him a lot when you watch the NBA today. I've often told you, my personality is my personality, and I get that. But it vibes with those old school cats. The Hall of Famers are the ones who hold me accountable. I cannot tell you how many superstars have called me over the years. Don't let that dude off the hook. You call that out. You do it to me. That's what they said. He's passed now. Kobe was one of those dudes. Mm. He didn't sit up there and talk about any players or anything like that. He didn't roll like that. But what he would say is, excuse me, you hold us accountable. He said, wait a minute. If I set up there and I'm shooting like garbage and I ain't getting the job done or I'm not committed to winning or anything like that, you'd call me out. Don't let anybody off the hook. Hold us all accountable because that helps uplift the game. Mm. And that's a big, big deal to me because when I'm talking about sports the way that I do, it's not just him. He epitomizes and personifies what so many others before him would say about how we have to protect the game and the integrity of the game by holding people accountable for their effort and their commitment, not their skill set, but their effort and their commitment to excellence. And that's what he's all about. That's what he personified. And, you know, that's why we remember him today.
Yeah, and I just want to say two things quickly. To your point, Jay, Kobe would be telling us, don't fight the old, build the new. Mm. How can you be your best spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally? And when I think of the word Kobe Bryant, that's what it make, he makes you strive to be the greatest version of yourself. And the other thing, I just want to share one story. This, I think I was like 22 years old, working for ESPN Mobile. Remember when we had the ESPN mm-hmm. phone?
Yeah.
And I got sent out to Southern California for a Powerade commercial. And they were with Kobe, and Kobe did the commercial in English, in Spanish, and Italian. He's brilliant. He's so cultured. And I was just so impressed by that. And like you said, when he passed away, it kicked off a lot of pain for all of us, me personally. And one thing that I actually have done during this pandemic, I've never said it, is I'm in school full time studying Spanish.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kobe, he really does, because my goal is to be able to interview in Spanish as well. But I never said it because I didn't want people to start talking to me because I'm not there yet. But really, that Mamba mentality, I strive to be like him. And what a legacy that is.
Yeah.
And just to hear his name makes you want to be a better person and your best in every aspect. He's such a beautiful spirit. And my heart just breaks for his wife and his children. And I'm sending them all my strength and love and prayers. And I hope they have a peace that passes all understanding. Because I know today's going to be a difficult day.
It's devastating. But I think that, you know, we'd all be devastated. And I'm just going to leave it at this because I know we got to move on. It's devastating for him to be gone. It's devastating to know that his 13-year-old daughter is gone too.
Yeah.
Along with seven others. And that. But how you go also impacts us.
Mm.
If Kobe had died of natural causes, we'd mourn and we'd be incredibly sad. But the tragic fashion in which it happened is really, really what stays. I mean, you know, I'm in California sometimes, and I'm driving, and you know, you're going towards Calabasas and stuff like that. You know, it hits your head, and you're like, damn. And it just messes with your whole spirit at that particular moment. And that, and sometimes that's what it really, really affects a lot of people, too. It's how it happened, not just that it happened.
Yeah, he meant so much to so many people.
Yeah.
And one last thing, the best trip I ever went on in my life was to Italy, and Kobe hooked that up for us. So I will always thank him for that. It was my only time in Europe. It was incredible. We know he spent some of his childhood there. So that's a positive memory, the Amalfi Coast. So thank you, Kobe, for that.
Je ne sais quoi?
Yeah.
Like, that's him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's him.
Yeah. So he's incredible. And we'll continue to honor him. Stephen A. has a few things we'll do a little later on the court as well. Ready to get to some hoops, guys?
Let's do it.
Gonna change the energy? Fire it up, baby? Okay. Last night, we saw the matchup that many expected to be the finals matchup this season before the season started. Some folks not as confident anymore. Brooklyn is third in the East and the Lakers eighth in the West. But the Lake Show got the best of the Nets last night, beating Brooklyn in Brooklyn by 10. The Nets also dealing with injuries, COVID, etc. James Harden, guys, he's just getting frustrated.
I don't know about any reports. Of course, I'm frustrated because, you know, we're not healthy. You know, it's a lot of inconsistency for whatever reason, injuries, COVID, whatever you want to call it. But it's frustrating. I think everybody in this organization is frustrated because we are better than what our record is and we should be, you know, on the way up. So that's all it is. I don't know about reports. If you didn't hear from me, like I don't talk to nobody. I have an agent. Like, you know, if you don't hear from me, then it's reports. So, you know, just I'm frustrated because I want to win, and I'm a competitor. It's pretty simple. Thanks.
Stephen A., do you feel like James Harden's frustrations are justified?
Yes, they are. What I will say is you do have an obligation to tell the truth if you're going to talk to the press and say what he said. The reality of the situation is James Harden, we can point to a plethora of things in the past that you didn't say that were reported that ended up being true. The departure of Chris Paul, the departure of Dwight Howard, the departure of Russell Westbrook. Mm. You know what I mean? I love James Harden, but there are a plethora of instances that people can point to where you didn't tell the media a damn thing. The reports came out and it ended up being exactly what was speculated about. So let's get that out the way. But I'm gonna tell you, Jay Williams.
Let me guess where you're gonna go.
Oh, no, don't guess. Just stay there and take it. Because your turn is coming. I wanna break it down to you, Jay Williams.
All ears.
Okay, because you're my brother. You see, what's really going on, right, is that James Harden came to Brooklyn, and he realized they should have went to the Knicks. That's what they realized. Just, what I mean by that, Jay, I'm not talking about, let me be very clear. You got me, all right? I'm in the process of losing a bet to you where I'm going to have to buy you a Tom Ford suit. I mean, it's not looking good for me right now. I'll openly confess that, Jay.
How many Tom Ford suits are you buying these days?
It seems like a lot.
You're losing a lot of bets.
No. I got a few other suits, Brioni and some others, too. But don't worry about it. Stay tuned.
Please don't digress.
All right, I don't want to digress. She distracted me. But the point is this, Jay. I'm not saying like the Knicks is presently constructed. And I'm talking about from a fan perspective. You see, what people don't realize behind the scenes is that my brother Jay, who sits here, he's usually smiling, Molly, until he comes on First Take. And you know why he's not smiling when he comes on First Take? Because he usually went to a Brooklyn Nets game before the night before. And when he goes to that game, and he hears those crowds, serenading about the other team,
you're the worst.
But not the Brooklyn Nets. And he sits there.
It bothers me.
Jay, because Jay knows. And see, this is the thing. You are absolutely right. The Knicks can't shine the Nets' shoes from a talent perspective. I know that. But you see, when the New York Knicks win a playoff game, not even a series, fans are like, yo, we won a damn championship. James Harden, not even the fans. I don't even have to get to the fans. James Harden's like, I'm frustrated we lose it. Yo, bro, they 9 games over .500. They're top 3 seed in the East. And he talked about losing. You know why? Because that's how it feels. Because in Brooklyn, what happens is the Barclays Center crowd, first of all, they ain't all Brooklyn Nets fans. They come to watch the other team, half of them. Half of them there for the Nets. The other half is for the visiting team. And then when you leave the Barclays Center, all you see is traffic on Atlantic Avenue. There's no real interest. Okay, you got KD, maybe the best player in the world. You got James Harden, big time. You got Kyrie Irving, box office, spectacular. Okay, you walk through the turnstiles to see a brother like that play. And guess what? You're having a hard time finding interest outside of the Barclays Center. That is what has hit Harden. And he's going like this. I left Houston. By the way, a state with no state income tax. That's very important to add. I left Houston for this?
Molly.
We know why you come here in a bad mood.
That's what it is.
Yes, because you're always smiling when you see me.
We're great when he looks that way. We're talking about life and Spanish lessons outside.
We're working on being the best version of ourselves.
That's what it is.
Then you come and people get angry.
A couple of things. Let me prioritize a couple of things. One. You're going to stop embarrassing yourself
Why?
In front of the world
Why?
And putting the Knicks and the Nets in the same damn
But
sentence.
I didn't. I didn't.
But you do.
I didn't.
You do a lot.
I didn't.
And by the way, they're not.
No, they're not.
You know why?
So but the fans are. But the fans are.
No, the fans aren't.
The fan base is.
Well, I'm not talking about
the fan base. I am.
You know what brings fans?
That's right.
Getting to championship games or getting close
actually,
or their performance actually, on the court?
Actually, the Nets are disproving that thing. That theory. I mean, there's more fans. There's more Knicks fans than there's Nets fans.
First off.
I mean,
first
really off, close.
Let me ask you a question.
Go
about
ahead.
It. To go back to James Harden being frustrated.
Sure.
Okay. We're coming off. Today is the 2-year anniversary of Kobe.
Yes.
You know, when I think about Kobe, I think about standard of excellence.
Yeah.
So for some marginal teams, for some marginal people, they might think, oh, he's frustrated because of the fans. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually frustrated because we should be number one in the East. We should be playing better basketball mm-hmm. right now.
Really? Is that right?
Even though I have a 30-point triple-double,
is that right?
You know what? I expect to win these type of games. And you know what? Even though there's drama, you can lip your lips all you want. Mm-hmm. I got some chapstick for you. You need it? Here, use that.
Don't share it.
Okay?
You know what? I don't
just
share
use your finger.
Guys,
okay,
don't
well,
share
well
it.
Get him,
that's
give him a cotton swab or
that's
something.
That's
you need it, but you need a lot of licking. I don't need all the licking. Anyway, what I'm getting back to at my point. Is that because James Harden should be frustrated because he came here to win. Last year, when they were down, when they're up 2-1 against Milwaukee, after Kyrie gets hurt, he comes back and they still had a chance to win.
Yes.
Who won the world championship last year or
Milwaukee.
The NBA championship?
Milwaukee.
Yes. Okay. Who was a shot away from beating Milwaukee without James Harden
That's right.
pretty much being on the court and
That's right.
Kyrie?
That's KD.
KD.
That's right.
So, yes.
Yes.
I am allowed to be frustrated when I want to achieve the ultimate success. Your second thing about telling the truth.
Okay.
That's an interesting comment. You know why?
Yeah.
Why do I want to tell the media the damn truth? I don't owe nothing to y'all. I don't have to tell you exactly what I'm feeling. I don't have to tell you exactly what I'm going.
You too.
Oh, I'm part of
you.
Media.
In the media.
I don't expect it.
Don't absolve yourself.
You're speaking like as hard.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to tell you.
I don't need to get into my emotional bag.
Yes. Go ahead.
Us. Yes. Sorry, us. Does that make you feel better?
That does make me feel better.
Us. I don't owe us anything.
Okay.
Why do I need to tell you if I don't like living in Brooklyn? I'm here to play ball, man.
Yeah.
I'm a hooper.
Yes, he is.
If I win a championship, this all take care of itself. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
You don't give me $80 million more.
Mm-hmm.
My situation may change with Kyrie.
Right.
I have Kevin Durant, and we will continue to do what we do, which is hooping.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen A., this has nothing to do with the damn Knicks, with fans. Mm-hmm. This has to do with a standard of excellence that not a lot of people apparently have. Because for some people, for some teams like the Knicks, you would be happy with being third place in the East. But for teams like a guy like James Harden, who is a firepower, maybe they don't want to be third place in the East.
Well, first of all, Harden is very experienced with being number two or number three in the conference, wouldn't you say? I mean, he spent a lot of time in Houston at that level. So let's not act like it's new. That's number one. Number two, this is the disadvantage and one of the biggest reasons I'm laughing at something you missed. Because the same Jay Williams that sat here, and if you're fair, Molly, you'll side with me on this.
I'm fair.
The same Jay Williams.
Oh, I know where he's going.
The same Jay Williams. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
The same Jay Williams that is sitting there. He's frustrated. They're not winning. It's about winning. They should be number one in the damn East. Isn't this the same dude that said just a week ago on national TV right on this platform that he had no problem with them being a third or a fourth or a fifth seed?
Facts.
So long.
Yeah.
That's it.
Facts.
So what I'm saying.
I did say that.
So what I'm saying is that's not consistent with what you just said.
Yes, it is.
That's not consistent. How you going to be satisfied a week ago with them being a fourth or fifth seed, but now you frustrated they ain't number one? How that work?
Can I explain?
Yes, you can.
Should I raise my voice so you can hear me?
Would you like me to be mellow?
I would prefer for you to be mellow.
I could go mellow.
Thank you.
Go ahead, man.
I
go mellow. Go ahead.
I didn't say to throw games, Stephen A.
I didn't say you said throw games.
Okay. So I like that James Harden is pissed off. I like that he's frustrated. You know why? Because the reality is there isn't that much, with the exception of Patty Mills, around James Harden when KD and Kyrie are now on the floor. What I did say is that they happen to draw a situation where they can't have home court advantage. That would actually work out to their favor because more games than less, they would have the big three on the court. And I don't care, frankly, about home court. I care about having Kyrie, James Harden, and KD playing the majority of the games in the series.
I agree
That's what
you.
I care about. I didn't say throw games. So there wasn't a contradiction in myself here.
It was a contradiction. I never said that you said throw games. I never said that you said that.
You implied it.
No, I did not. I did no such thing.
I saw you look into the camera and imply it.
Tama, I only imply when it comes to Cowboys because I like trolling their fans. I say what I need to say with everything else. And what I am saying to you is this.
Finding a similarity between Cowboy fans and Knick fans, but go ahead.
No similarities, dude.
Yeah, there's a
we
lot
know,
of pain.
We know we stink. You don't hear Knick fans saying, we're going to the NBA championship next year. You don't hear us saying that.
Is there tape of him saying that they can get to the Eastern Conference semifinals or the finals?
I just said.
So what do you mean?
Time out. Didn't I just say?
Okay, go ahead.
You don't hear us saying Knick fans are going to win the NBA championship.
New York, stand up.
Go ahead. Okay,
but it's still a little bit bloviating.
That's not saying they're going to win a chip.
Yeah.
Cowboy fans lie to themselves all the time.
Trae Young showed up, and then the party was over.
But in the end, here's the reality of the situation. Harden, why would Harden be frustrated with them being 29-18 and third in the Eastern Conference? Harden's not frustrated by that. Harden's frustrated by all the drama that has surrounded this team and the fact that his horses ain't there. And he ain't blaming no KD, because we all know KD balls all day, every day, if he's healthy.
You know what?
And we know that Harden does the same thing. But we all know the drama that has surrounded the Nets franchise. And when we talk about their reports, not me, but whether it's Woj or anybody else out there, you've seen people speculating as to whether or not Harden would stay in Brooklyn after this year. Would he go down I-95 to Philadelphia with Daryl Morey and the boys? Speculation coming out of those camps. Why? Why is that happening? Because they're implying that Harden is not happy in Brooklyn. Why would you be unhappy?
Mm.
Why? Tell me.
I'm not saying I disagree with that.
That's what I'm saying.
My point is,
he's not happy in Brooklyn. There's only two reasons not to be unhappy in Brooklyn. There's only two. And one of them is
obviously all the drama that has surrounded this team.
Yeah. All I'm telling you, as a producer tells me to rap, and I refuse to listen to him.
Okay. No.
Is that if they win a championship, all is taken care of, Stephen A. These are the dog days.
I agree with that.
As Hoopers, January, February.
I agree.
These are the tough days.
I agree.
Media is going to ask crazy questions.
Then why are you emotional?
Because you make me emotional.
I do that.
You know
how to be that way.
All I'm saying to you is talk to me when it comes time for March. Talk to me when we get into April, when they start actually hooping and they're on the court together.
Come on. Just in case the audience needs to know this, Jay will be here in March.
Oh, I'll be here in
April, May,
yes,
and June.
Uh-huh.
Nobody disinvited you. You'll be right there.
What?
The point is, it's January right now. February's approaching. I'll talk to you down the line as well. It don't change today. I mean, you got to deal with today. You got to deal with the fact that you went to the Lakers game. Notice I said the Lakers game is at the Barclays Center. The Lakers game last night. Because there was more Laker fans in there. That's right.
Don't do it.
Was at the game. You was at the game. How was it? How many Brooklyn Nets fans did you see?
Last word here. And then we're going to get to football.
LeBron. Jay. I don't even know what to say.
Jay.
I'm just going to stare him down.
That don't happen at the Garden.
Jay, what would Kobe do?
Okay.
He would ignore the noise.
I can't wait to drop 81 on you. I'll take 81
Kobe
dollars.
Could They're ignore coming. The noise because they would be rooting for Kobe.
Okay. All right.
So now you're telling me people don't root for KD?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in Brooklyn.
Here, you know what, Jay? We'll go to a sore subject for Stephen A. That would be Aaron Rodgers, who lost to Jimmy G. I don't know if you saw.
Keep the same energy.
It's no secret Rodgers' season didn't end the way he hoped for in Green Bay. With the season wrapping up, the speculation is ramping up about his future. Should the Packers trade him? Should he take his talents elsewhere? We'll let Aaron tell his story with Pat McAfee.
It's difficult. Anytime the season ends, it's always abrupt. Definitely felt like we had a special team this year, be able to make a Super Bowl run. So it's frustrating to go out and play like that. I'm at the place relationally with the Packers, in a really good place, especially with Brian and the way our friendship and trust has grown. Where
GM,
where
good to cut.
Yeah, where good you know cut. The. It would be a simple conversation, and whatever comes out of that conversation is moving forward. There's not going to be any weird, standoff, war of silence or anything.
So, there he is. Swaggo, looking very nice today. Thanks for being with us, as always, obviously.
Yeah.
Wednesday is your day. Rodgers, I feel like, said all the right things there. You know, he was thinking about everybody else, doesn't want to drag this out, create drama for the franchise. But do you think it's time for the Packers to move on?
Yeah, it is. It's time for the Packers to move on and Aaron Rodgers. Listen, I said this a couple of days ago. It's been a whole lot of fuss and nothing to show for it. And obviously we know Aaron Rodgers' greatness, how well he plays the quarterback position and what he does for the Green Bay Packers. I'm not talking about football. You don't get better without having Aaron Rodgers, but you do start a new era. And that's my train of thought. And then, too, for Aaron Rodgers, like there comes a point, I think, in your career when you think you can win a championship and you've had so many bites at the apple, and it's just not coming to fruition. And obviously we know he has a championship. And the safe thing is to say, well, stay in Green Bay because you got the best chance to win. Aaron Rodgers is going to make whatever team he goes to have a better chance to win a Super Bowl, right? And you talk about the roster and all of the things that transpired this offseason with him. I look at this franchise and I look at the individual who is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers wants to win a championship. I don't know if that's going to happen in Green Bay. They got a lot to figure out outside of Aaron Rodgers this year. And then if you're the Green Bay Packers, when do you get the next era started? Because ultimately, all of the things that you're going through, all of the conversations, and it's great that him and Brian has a good relationship now and everything is good, but Devontae Adams is either going to get franchised or decide that he wants to figure out how to get out of there. Or you got guys that have come in, like Randall Cobb, who Aaron Rodgers wanted on the team, who don't know what the future is like. So I'm not 100% sure that all is well in Green Bay when it comes to the decisions that they have to make going into this offseason. But for all of the things that transpire year in and year out, and this team has been to NFC championships. They've been in the playoffs. They lost this playoff game against the San Francisco 49ers. It's been a whole lot of back and forth for it not to come together. And the Green Bay Packers waited, and they were patient and trying to figure out if Aaron was going to come back and play. He was contemplating retiring or going to another team or wanting out of Green Bay. I think you move forward. You start the new era in Green Bay. No, you're not going to be as good of a football team, obviously, without him being a quarterback, but eventually you start to rebuild this thing and figure things out as you go forward. Every team, every franchise has been through it. I think it's time for them to separate. I think it's what's best for both of them.
I think you're wrong. Not when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. I think a lot of that is contingent on what happens with Devontae Adams staying in Green Bay or whatever. That's a different subject. But in terms of the Green Bay Packers moving on, hell no. You'd be stupid to do that if you made that call as an organization to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Where you going? Jordan Love, 19 for 34, 190 yards and an interception against Kansas City in his lone game as a starter this year. We saw what he did and how he wet the bed against Detroit in the second half of the season finale. He has not been that impressive. We have serious questions as to whether or not he is ready. We've seen no evidence of that whatsoever. So what direction are you going to go in if you lose somebody like Aaron Rodgers? I am not somebody that's keen to be but so complimentary about Aaron Rodgers today. We all know how I feel about the brother. I think he's the baddest man on the planet as a talent at the quarterback position that I've ever seen. But it also elevates the alarming feeling that just reeks through me when I consider how he performed this past weekend against Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. To score only 10 points in a home game when you had a week's rest, when San Francisco is playing on a short week, as good as that defense is, for you to only be able to muster that with Mr. Matt LaFleur helping you call plays and everything, because he's the offensive coordinator and the guru that has blessed the Green Bay Packers franchise. It ain't because of Aaron Rodgers they win. It's Matt LaFleur. I mean, he's the dude that's winning 13 games a year. He'll do that even when Aaron Rodgers leaves. Please, I ain't nobody believing that. And so to me, I'm just saying, when you talk about Aaron Rodgers making the decision, Swaggoo, to move on, I vibe with you on that. There's a multitude of reasons why he could easily decide to move on, okay? And we all know teams would be lined up to take him. But in the end, I would tell you that if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I do everything in my power to keep that brother, because I have no plan B that measures up to his plan A. No plan B.
I'm sure they will. But my whole premise is, how much do you want to be in doubt? At what point do you move forward as an organization?
Stop. What do you mean? I just need clarification. What do you mean be in doubt? What does that mean?
Last offseason, you didn't know if the man was going to come back. This season, he just said on Pat McAfee, I'm going to make a decision. That he didn't say me and Green Bay are going to make a decision or I'm going to
no,
go.
No, let me interject. What I'm saying to you is I'm saying take into consideration. When I'm answering the question, I'm saying Aaron Rodgers says, yeah, guys, I'm willing to come back to Green Bay. I'm saying you, Green Bay, you don't move on. That's what I mean. I understand the trepidation and doubt, but if he says, yo, I want to be here, you take him.
That's not the premise I'm under.
Okay.
I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
I'm talking about how much unknown that this franchise is dealing with the quarterback. And Stephen A., let me tell you something, bro, and you know this as well as anybody. If you want to be somewhere and you're Aaron Rodgers, you will say that you want to be there. What benefit does Aaron Rodgers serve to tell the Green Bay Packers he doesn't want to return?
You know the answer to this better than me. You want to make sure personnel is kept. Like Devontae Adams is a big deal. You want to make sure you want to come back to the requisite weapons that you left behind this past season.
S.A.
You don't want to lose those.
S.A., those guys are waiting on him. give Aaron Rodgers credit for this. He did acknowledge that I won't drag this out because other dude's future. That I respect that probably more than anything he said in the last years.
Right.
But when I think about this particular situation, bro, I don't want to be on hold with ESPN because I'm waiting to see what Stephen A. gonna do.
I agree.
I still have a future. I still have to make a decision based on what's best for me and my future.
Well, since you brought Stephen A. into the equation,
what's an analogy? Stop it. Don't go into all that.
I'm not joking. I'm dead serious when I say this. Allow me to retort. Sitting here every day, Molly being by my side matters.
Yeah.
Swagoo being on the air with me matters. Keyshawn being on the air with me matters. Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes and Jeff Saturday being on the air with me matters. If I don't have those assets available to me and that's up in the air, well, then guess what? I might not be as enthused about doing this. Y'all matter when you use that analogy.
And that's great. And all of that is fine.
By the way, my producers. I mean, you know, Antoine Lewis, James Dunn, you know, Sam Tanucci, Ryan Settler, all of these guys. It matters.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You just said what you said, and Molly is sitting up there next to you. So at what point does your responsibility lie into the communication with everybody else
about
what you're doing?
Well, what you just said that you applaud Aaron Rodgers for. He said, I'm not going to let this drag out.
For Devontae Adams.
Well, again, if I'm Devontae Adams.
We're talking about the franchise.
Right.
I'm talking about the franchise and Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I need you to make a quick decision.
Well, that's my point, Stephen A. Your quick decision may not be on my timeline. I got things to do, too.
Guys, this is good, but we got to take a break. Okay. We got to take a break.
Yeah.
Marcus, we'll have plenty more time the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I also want to mention Christopher Mad Dog Russo will be going head-to-head with Stephen A.
You sure he going to show up?
Oh,
you sure Mad Dog going to show up?
He's going to show up.
Stevie Boy, where are you, Stevie Boy? That's how he talks to me, you know.
I think you should be a little nervous about it.
He talks to me like I'm in high school.
You know what that's called? It's called sunning you.
Yes. Well, you know what? He is older.
Okay, that's not what I was saying. Let's go.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Let's get it. Blockbuster coaching news yesterday. Sean Payton stepping away after 15 seasons as the Saints head coach. Payton has 3 years remaining on his deal. So New Orleans would maintain his rights if he decides to coach again. He didn't rule that out. Here's a very thoughtful and grateful Sean Payton at his press conference yesterday.
Man, I felt like it was time. You know, I kind of knew maybe heading into training camp. I still have a vision for doing things in football. And I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future. But that's not where my heart is right now.
Swagoo, you're up first. What is the meaning, Swagoo, of Sean Payton leaving? And you're from that city.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think he needed a reprieve, like just a breather. I mean, you think about Sean Payton has done a phenomenal job in New Orleans. I grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I was there at a time when Saints fans wore bags over their face. That's how bad the franchise was doing. He brought them out of that.
That's what they were.
Yeah, you know it. You know, everybody knows it well. But you think about his whole tenure. You think about the bounce back from Katrina, the Super Bowl, his relationship with Drew Brees. But I think at times, man, like coaches, it's a stressful job, and I think this is a reprieve. But I do think he's going to end up in Dallas at some point.
Well, let me say this. The question is, what does it mean? What it does mean is that Sean Payton going to be on First Take this year. I assure y'all of that. I love Sean Payton. Sean Payton going to be on First Take. Coach, you know – come on, you know I'm your boy. You just sit right there. The seat is waiting for you, my man. We can definitely – him and Rex. I got to have Rex Ryan, too. He's doing a great job. I got to have Rex Ryan on here, too. But let me say this to you. Let me tell you what else it means. It also means – look, damn it, I miss Drew Brees. I miss him a lot. I'm trying to get over it. I'm trying to get over it. But it's tough, damn it. I need a break after dealing with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, even though Jameis Winston didn't play that bad. It means that, too, because there's levels to this. And Drew Brees is on another level than what Sean Payton had to work with once he departed. Last but not least, I gotta say this. Swagoo, it might mean that I can't troll the Cowboys as much as I'm accustomed to.
What?
Because
Sean
Payton could win a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys, with the personnel that they have on that offense. I know they got about 20, 21 free agents.
Oh, so
they
no
got
black some decisions. Cat. They None got, of that accident
no,
waiting
no,
to happen
no,
if Sean
no, no, no.
Payton shows
you,
up.
I will say this
he
to you.
Answer to the black
I will
cat.
Not say, I will not say there's a black cat running around that franchise if Sean Payton is the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, mind you, they can still mess it up now. Because Sean Payton can't control everything. He can't control dudes behaving themselves off the field. He can't control dudes not getting in trouble. He can't control that kind of stuff. But on the football field, in terms of an offense, I think that Sean Payton's presence automatically elevates the Dallas Cowboys, no question about it. Here's the question, though, Swaggoo, and I'll throw it to you because it's all I got to say. He calls plays. Ain't no way in hell Kellen Moore's going to be calling plays if Sean Payton come there. And Sean Payton had control in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be the same. Can he take that? And will New Orleans release him from his rights, from the rights to him, to let that happen within the same conference? Those are the two big questions.
I think they will with the right amount of compensation. Let me say that. The second part of your question is, ain't no way in hell Kellen Moore calling plays if Sean Payton becomes the head coach. And the other thing is, Sean has spent time in Dallas, so he understands that dynamic with Jerry and obviously Steven. And I believe in my heart of hearts, and look, you know, I very rarely change on the fact that Jerry may get out of the way. This may be one of those situations where he says, Sean, you along with Steven and Will McClay, y'all make football decisions. I really think he would tailor that in order, because of what you just said, the real belief that they could win a Super Bowl with him as the head coach. So I look at this in totality, and I think about what Sean Payton was able to bring the New Orleans Saints out of.
Yeah.
And if he goes back to Dallas already with an understanding, he was the offensive coordinator when I was drafted in 2005. He developed Tony Romo. He did a phenomenal job putting a great offense together. I just would pray that Jerry would give him full control of what he needed to do in order to be the coach and control the things that needed to happen.
Got it. Yeah.
Stephen A. has it all planned out. He'll come hang out on First Take for a year, and then he'll go to
Sean
Dallas.
Coming in that chair.
He'll go to Dallas and he'll win the Cowboys a Super Bowl. Cool. It's good to see you.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch switched to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Listen, we all know what today is. It's a two-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's passing. We understand that, and that doesn't leave us in a good mood. But if we want to get in a good mood, think about the greatness that he blessed us with throughout his illustrious career as a Los Angeles Laker. So guess what I'm doing today? It's time for an A-list. And today's A-list is about that brother, Kobe Bryant. Today I've got the top five Kobe Bryant moments for me personally. It's all open to debate because there were so many. But I'm going to give you my top five first. Number five on the list, give it to me right now, please. Look at that game winner versus the Phoenix Suns 2006 playoffs. This brother gets the ball, pulls up over my brother Rajah Bell, pulls up right there, and then does that MJ fist pump. There you go with Lamar Odom and those boys jumping into his arms. That was after Shaquille O'Neal was gone. That was when it was clearly Kobe Bryant's team. It was before Pau Gasol arrived, obviously so, but you see what I'm talking about. Let's go to number four on the list, please. Give it to me right now. Kobe Bryant, this kind of hurt my feelings. I had to tell him it hurt my feelings because he did this to my New York Knicks. Came in the Madison Square Garden and said, let me remind these people of who the hell I am. Madison Square Garden, February of 2009, Kobe Bryant puts on an absolute show. Dropped 61 on the New York Knicks. A victory, of course. Now let's go to number three on the list, please. Give it to me right now. Give it to me. Look at this dunk versus the Denver Nuggets, okay? Behind the back, reverse slam, right there, February of 2003. That was Kobe Bryant. Look at that brother right there. It was something special. Some of the best times in the history of the NBA because of some of those moments like that. But it ain't number two on the list. We know what number two is, right? Give it to me, please. 81 points against the Toronto Raptors. Our colleague, Jalen Rose, he was on that team. Coach of the year, one of the coach of the year. Sam Mitchell, he was coaching at Toronto Raptors. That's my brother. Great coach, great dude. But that particular night, boxing one, double team, did everything he could to Kobe Bryant. It didn't matter. He dropped 81 points. 81. Only Wilt Chamberlain's 100 has registered higher in the history of basketball. Still in all, just because you scored 81 points, that didn't make it number one. Here's what number one was to me. I was there in attendance. His final game of his career, April of 2016, Kobe Bryant versus the Utah Jazz, when he dropped 60, when Jay-Z was courtside, when Snoop Dogg was in attendance with himself doing a selfie, going crazy. This is the show that Kobe Bryant put on, pulling up from everywhere, on his last legs with his family in attendance. I was there. The stars came out. It was his final game, and it was a spectacular, spectacular memory he left for us all. These are my top five moments for me personally in the career of Kobe Bryant. There are others I could have easily put in here because he had so many, but they just jumped out of my mind. I'm giving it to you.
No debate with that list for the first time, Stephen A. Very well done. You didn't get the reverse dunk on Minnesota, but you couldn't get everything, obviously.
Too many.
Mamba out. How about 60 is final game? I forgot about that till you brought that up.
It's crazy.
Marcus, where are you on this? Any other memories that Stephen A. left off?
Nah, phenomenal list. The one I would say is when he threw the alley to Shaq.
Yeah.
And you realize the evolution of Kobe Bryant's game.
I was there, too.
and how he was willing.
That one too, Marcus.
Yeah, how he was willing to take a back seat when needed. And you remember, Stephen A., that was the conversation. Is Kobe going to force it? Will he try to – he threw that alley, man, and Shaq came down pointing, and you could see them jump into each other's arms.
The only reason I didn't put that moment up there, and I was there, but that back in the day, you know, I was sitting in the rafters, you know. I mean, I was writing for the Philadelphia Inquirer, not being all over TV, so I didn't have the seats I would have now. But the point that I'm making to you is that the stadium was rocking. It was absolutely a sensational moment. But Shaq's, even though Kobe threw the pass after he shook off Scottie Pippen, by the way, who was a Portland Trailblazer at the time, the bottom line is the dunk by Shaq is why I didn't put that on the list, because Shaq dunked it. If Kobe had dunked it, it would have been different.
No doubt. I love the list, though. Yes. I love the list. And I heard y'all make y'all tribute to Kobe. The one thing I'll remember for sure, S.A., and obviously the basketball moments, is the legendary father he was.
Yeah.
To me, that's the story that we all should still tell, and I know y'all do it well, but you think about legacy. Legacy was happenstance because Kobe was going to be a great basketball player, and I feel like that was for us, and obviously his children, his family, his wife benefited from that. But ultimately, the legend and legacy will lie with his family and his girls that are still here. Obviously, we miss G. She was ascending as one of the best female basketball players in the country. But as a father that had the opportunity to play a professional game, you realize more and more as you get towards the end that my real legacy gonna lie with the people that I look in the face every day in my home. And I thought he was doing a tremendous job doing that while doing so many other
things. Absolutely. He adored his daughter.
I know we got to go to break. Yeah. He bragged about Gianna.
She would have been at UConn. He said that every time.
And he told me years earlier, she's going to UConn.
Yeah.
She's going to play for Gina Auriemma.
Yep.
And then she's going to the WNBA.
Yep.
That's what he said.
Yeah, absolutely.
What he said.
Gone too soon. Mamba out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.